to address a topic which is of relevance really nowadays, perhaps more than ever before, and that is the topic of yichud. Yichud is a halacha which is, one is prohibited min haTorah, according to most opinions, to be miyached, to be alone, a man and a woman to be alone, together. The basis of this halacha is a pasuk in the Torah, Le'sikruvu Legalis Ervasa, and we darshan from that that Asr Le'siyached in Kol Arayas. That it's forbidden for a person to be miyached with Arayas, with women who are not, they are not allowed to marry. Classic example would be a man with his aunt, with his father's sister. She is forbidden to marry this man, and therefore for the two of them to be alone, halacha is its Asr. Now just as a brief hakdama, introduction, and that is that we find in the Torah very often, the Torah itself gives siyagim, gives fences to protect us. The classic example of this would be chametz on Pesach. That the Torah says it's a chayv krisis of a person who eats chametz on Pesach. The Torah itself goes ahead and gives us a lav of not owning chametz and not seeing chametz by Rabbi Yimatzai. The purpose of that, from what we understand, is that if we would own it, we would see it, we would have it in our possessions, we would come to eat it. So the Torah itself goes ahead and gives us the prohibition of owning chametz. Of course, very often we have the Rabbanans like this. The Rabbanan, we know Muksa, for example, you now have to pick up a pen on Shabbos, because the Rabbanan said, if you pick up a pen, you might come to write with the pen. So therefore, there the Rabbanan went ahead and gave this prohibition of writing, of picking up a pen on Shabbos so that you don't come to write with it. But in this instance, we say that the Torah itself, in the interest of Klal Yisrael being safe, and again, this man hazeh, we have seen so often, you know, great individuals, generals, and presidents, and so on, who have succumbed, as the Gemara says, "Ein apichapis la'arayis," which is a concept of that no one can be trusted, so to speak, under such circumstances. And therefore, the Torah, so to speak, did us a favor by prohibiting various people coming together. Now, as we mentioned, it's deraisa, but there are various derabbanans, and in understanding the halacha, we just briefly need to see the how this halacha evolved. I mean, the Torah is forbidden for a man to be miyachay, to be alone with a woman. Now, David who based Dinai came along and was geyser on a pnuya. After the maisa of Tamar and Amnon, David HaMelech and his beis din went ahead and said, not only can't you be miyached with an erva, with a woman who you are not allowed to marry, but you are also not allowed to be miyached. Miyached, of course, means to be alone. You're not allowed to be miyached even with a pnuya, with a girl who is a single girl who is not married, who is really not an erva, so to speak, because if it's just a single girl, the halacha is one could marry this girl. So really, min haTorah, there would be no prohibition of yichud. So nonetheless, David HaMelech came and prohibited this. Now the truth is, Bizman Azeh, this woman who is a pnuya is really also to be miyached with, if she is over the age of 11 or 12, it's also to be miyached with her min haTorah, min haRaisa. Because in the olden days, in the days of David HaBeis Dino, in the days of Talmudic times, we had a concept where women would go to the mikveh because they wanted to eat truma, they wanted to eat kachim, so therefore they would lose their status of being a nida because they went to the mikveh and they went through whatever steps were necessary, and therefore they were tahira, they were completely tahira, and therefore this pnuya was not an erva, a pnuya being a single girl of 17 or 18 who was tahira. So the halacha would be min haTorah, you could be miyachid with such a woman, but nowadays where we don't have kachim and we don't have karbanas, and we don't have kachim karbanas, we don't have truma which we are eating, but v'nesenu harabi, we don't have a beis hamikdash, so therefore our nashim, our pnuyas do not go to the mikveh because there's no need to go, because there's no kachim to eat anyway. So therefore from the age of 12 she's really an erva, because the halacha is it's prohibited for a man and a woman to have relations when she is a nida, and therefore halacha is it's prohibited min haTorah to be for a man and a woman if the woman is a nida from age 11 or 12, it's prohibited to be miyached with her min haTorah. But the Rabbanan still applies from the age of 3 and above. In other words, the halacha is, as we will see, for a man to be miyached with a woman once she turns 3 years old is also asr min Rabbanan. So we could say that between 3 and 11 or 12 it's asr min Rabbanan, and from age 12 and up it's asr min haTorah. And again, that gzeira was extended to any girl from 3 and above. Now, Now the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai extended this gezeira to non-Jewish women as well. Min HaTorah, the prohibition is for a man to be miyached with a Jewish woman. Min HaTorah, there is no prohibition to be miyached with a non-Jewish woman. But nonetheless, the Talmidim of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, based on the, I believe, sociological times of, there was more business that was done with it was more relationship, so to speak, between how non-Jews and Jews interacted, so the Talmidim of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai felt the basic necessity to be geizer on in this case. And also, what's also asur is even for a man to be miyachin with two women, as we will explain, that it's not only prohibited for one man and one woman, but even for one man and two women is also asur to be miyachin. So for example, if as we will see, babysitters is a classic case where if a you have a boy, he's an eighth grade boy, he wants to babysit, and his neighbor has a 3-year-old girl and a 4-year-old girl, halacha is it would be asur, because for a man to be miyachin with two women, even it doesn't matter what their age, if they're 3 or older, halacha is the halachas of yichud apply. And maybe the last few minutes I'll use for questions. Now, there are exceptions to yichud which are important. In fact, probably we could spend more time on the exceptions than the halachas of yichud in and of himself. First of all, a mother with a son and a father with a daughter do not have a iser of yichud. There's no prohibition for a man to be miyached with his mother or with his daughter, which means that, for example, if I would want to go to my mother, who is an amana, my father was nifter a few years ago, and I would want to stay in the home with my mother, the halacha is it's mutter. Even though a mother and a child are arayas, a man cannot marry his mother, it's asur in HaTorah, but there is no prohibition because in the understanding of this, what potentially could happen in the infinite wisdom of the Torah and Chazal, there's no chashad, we are not afraid that anything is going to happen. And of course, we have to, as we mentioned in Hakdama, the whole iser of yichud is in order that it's a protection, it's a siyag, it's a gather, it's a fence, so that two people don't come to do isurim chamurim, terrible isurim, averis of intimate relationship. But a son and a mother, the Torah was not afraid that it would come to anything, and therefore a son and a mother are allowed to be miyached, and a father and his daughter are also allowed to be miyached. Another exception are brothers and sisters. And when we say, by the way, mother, and we also include a grandmother, to go to visit, when my grandmother was alive, then she was in Almana, so for me to visit her alone, his mutter is permissible, 100%, because there's no iser yichud, and even a man with his great-grandmother, if one is zeichet to have a great-grandmother, there's no prohibition of yichud, and the same thing would be with einikluch, with grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Now, just as a side note, as we mentioned, it's also it's prohibited for a man to be miyached with two women, just as an example of a classic case with grandmothers. If, let's say, a girl becomes a kala, wonderful simcha, and she wants to take her chassan to meet her grandmother, her bubby lives in New York, or some other town, and now they go up, and the chas and kala go, and there's no yichud, as we will see outside, and now she wants to take her chasen to meet her babi. What a beautiful thing. The halacha is, it's a problem of yichud, because you have a man, the chasen, who's together with two women, and in that case, it will be a problem of yichud. Again, for a chasen to go to his babi with his kala, that would be fine, because the chasen and the grandmother have no problem of yichud. But if the kala wants to go to her babi to bring her chassan, you'd have a problem of yichud. And again, we'll see ways how to get around this. First we'll create the problems, then we'll create the solutions. Now the second exception is a brother and a sister. There is no yichud between siblings. So, for example, if parents are away, they're at a chasana, and alone are a brother and a sister, the brother is 10 and the sister is 12, or the brother is 18 and the sister is 17, the halacha is there is no iser of yichud in that case. There is an important difference, fundamental difference between the heter of yichud between siblings and the heter, the permissibility of yichud between a parent and a child. And that is, a parent is allowed to be miyached on a permanent basis with a child. I know, for example, a man is no longer living, but he never married, and he lived with his mother for many, many years. And halacha is that's permissible. They lived in the same home. Halacha on a permanent basis, that's 100% permissible, that he was together with his mother, not a problem. However, a siblings, the halacha is, are not allowed to be miyached on a permanent, on a long-term basis. We'll define what long-term means in a minute. But simply put, if let's say you have a brother and a sister, and they lost their spouses, and they want to move to Miami, and retire, and it's expensive rent, and they want to move in together, as a brother and a sister, to live together in an apartment in Florida, or what have you, the halacha is it would be usur. For the mother and the son, not a problem. For the father and the daughter, not a problem. But for a brother and a sister to move in together on a permanent basis, the halacha is that's usur. Now, how do we define what's considered on a long-term basis? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva says that a brother and a sister are not allowed to be miyached longer than it will be considered as a normal visit. Which means that if, let's say, you have a sister who's single, or a mana, or living alone in New York, and you have a chasen in New York, and you want to sleep over by your sister, it's 100% mutter. Not a problem whatsoever, because yichud is permissible. It's a akrai, it's a short-term basis. The halacha is, it's permissible for you to go. If you have a sister, better yet, you have a sister who lives in Miami, and you want to go there for a week, and whatever it is, you have business meetings, you're going alone, you know, your wife went to Israel, and now you want to go yourself to spend a week in Florida, the halacha is, it's also permissible in that case, because it's a normal visit. You know, you go to Florida for a week, that's fine. But if you want to go for a month, let's say, which is really, most people don't pay visits for a month under normal circumstances, that would be a problem. So again, there's no set number. One gauge is what is the normal period of time that one goes to visit someone else. That amount of time is permissible for a brother and a sister to be miyachid with each other. However, longer than that, on a long-term basis, the halacha is, it would be a problem. Now, one exception to this is, the halacha says that if the parents, if you have a brother and a sister who are in their own home, and the parents go, let's say, to Israel for a month, and leave the brother and sister, and this is a relatively common occurrence, where they're going for a month period of time somewhere away, and the children will be home, the siblings are home, it's summer, they're in camp or whatever, they're in yeshivas and seminaries and whatever it is, that's not considered long term. In their own home, if Shabbos the parents went away for a bit of an extended period, but they're in their own bias, then we allow them to stay together for a more extended period of time. Now, the next halacha is, that we have to mention, is other exceptions. Another very important exception is one's own wife. And that is, as we mentioned earlier, when a woman is a nida, the halacha is she's an erva, and that applies even to one's own wife. The halacha is the classic exception to where we do not have a case of yichud is between a husband and a wife, where the wife is a nida. The halacha is, it's permissible for them to be miyached. Because if we think about it, if it would be prohibited for them to be miyached with each other, then every month they would have to each move into a different house or a different apartment. The halacha is that's not a problem. Now the one exception is, and this is really beyond the scope of tonight, is that by a chasen kala, there are, in particular when they first get married, there are issues of yichud, and again when it's negeya, one should ask a shayla. In that case, we're not going to get into that because that's really a shir in its own right. Now, one, we're not going to get into this, but I just want to mention where a shayla should be asked. And that is, there are many tshuvas written about stepchildren. Because really, based on what we're saying tonight, if a husband and wife, adopt a son, or a husband and a wife, and they both lost their spouses, and they marry each other, and now the wife had a daughter, and now they're marrying, this daughter is now coming into a family, and this man is only her stepfather. So the halacha is, the basic halacha, generally speaking, is there's no relationship. The whole heter is between a father and a daughter, not between a father and a stepdaughter. And therefore, if one is in a situation where there are stepchildren who are involved, it's a very serious shaila, and it depends, there are different factors according to different opinion, when the child became, was adopted, at what age, at what point they got married, how old was the child when they came in to this family, took on this step-parent. And again, it's a very serious shaila, there are many shitas, again, a little bit beyond the scope of tonight, but one has to realize that it's a very relevant shiloh. It's very, very negayah, because, you know, the wife goes to work and the husband is home alone with his stepdaughter. Is it mutter or usher in that case? Then one should ask a shiloh. Another very, very relevant shiloh, which we're not going to get into, but one should realize one should ask a shiloh, is by an elderly person. Very often, you have a man who is, let's say, in his 70s or 80s, and unfortunately his wife has passed away, and now he needs somebody to come in and clean, or somebody to come in and cook. So here you have a man and a woman who are miyached. One has to ask a shayla in that case, how to get around that. Al pi pashtus, it's a problem, because even though one could say, well, the whole reason for yichud is two people might come to Isurim, but here you're dealing with an old man and there's an older lady, and this is not going to happen. But generally speaking, we have a klal in halacha, which is called leipuag. We generally don't make exceptions. And therefore, again, it's a serious shayla that needs to be asked in such a case. Now, an exception which we will address are the following. Number one is a concept known as pesach pasuach l'shus harab. And literally that means the door is open. Whereas we're saying the prohibition of yichud is if a man and a woman are left alone, then they might come, God forbid, to do something wrong. However, if it's Rosh Hasharabim, and the classic example of a Rosh Hasharabim or a Pesach Pasuach Rosh Hasharabim is a man and a woman in a car. In our society, out on the streets that we live in, the streets are busy 24 hours a day, unless you're in some dead end or you're out in the middle of nowhere. But generally, if one travels on regular roads, regular streets, regular highways, there is no prohibition of yichud, which means Api Halacha is permissible for a man and a woman to travel together. Let's say you're coming back from a chasana from New York, and someone asks if you went there alone, and a girl comes over to a man and says, "Can you give me a ride back to Baltimore?" Api Halacha, there is no isser of yichud in that case, even though they're alone and if they're going to be driving at 2 o'clock in the morning. But since, as long as they stay on the main roads, they get off at the regular rest stops on the turnpike, then that's fine. If they're going to go in back roads, or they're traveling through some state highway in Montana, which cars will pass through there one every 8 hours, so that would be a problem of yichud, because they're alone. They're in the middle of nowhere. Or to take a hike, for example, in the Skyline Drive, to go on a hike with a woman that's, again, not your own wife or not your own daughter, would be a problem of yichud, because these are secluded areas, secluded forests, secluded country. That would be a problem of yichud. But if you're driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, or you're driving down Rice Town Road or Park Heights, or you're going from here to Washington, D.C., then there's no problem of yichud. Again, this is very relevant by a date. When a someone goes on a date, they stay out late till 2 o'clock in the morning, and Bez Hashem, they'll be Chas and Kala one day, but at this point they're not, then the halacha is, it's not a problem, provided that they stay on the main roads. Now, the real issue of Pesach Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim relates to one's own home. And that is, if the door is open. Do we say, and when do we say, it's not a problem of yichud if the door is open? And what is considered as an open door? So again, this is very relevant, because if a person finds themselves in a situation of yichud in their own house, so one way around is, well, let's just open the door. So does it work or not? The halacha is, a door which is unlocked, closed but it's simply unlocked, generally speaking, does not take care of the problem of yichud. Generally speaking, is not considered Pesach Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. And when I say a door, I refer to a regular home in this neighborhood. If you unlock your door in the society we live in, people don't just walk in. In other words, the whole concept is, if the door is open, maybe there's no yichud because someone might come in, so therefore I'm not going to come to do anything with this woman who is together with me alone because our door is unlocked. But that's not really a deterrent. In other words, we're looking for deterrence here. That's not considered a deterrent in that case, because what's the deterrent? No one's going to come into my house. The door is unlocked. Big deal. Who's going to walk in? We don't, when you come to visit someone on Shabbos afternoon or other time, the door is unlocked. Don't just come in. So therefore, the halacha is, in that case, it does not take care of the problem of yichud. The unlocked door, we will see, under certain scenarios, could be used in specific cases where I have other reasons to be lenient, as we'll see. But generally speaking, to say there's no yichud because I unlocked the door will not work. Now, in certain areas, it will work. For example, in a bungalow colony. In a bungalow colony, an unlocked door really is, under normal circumstances, depending on which bungalow colony you're in, or perhaps in a dormitory, right? In a dormitory, people just come and go as they please. Now, I'm not saying that in a boy's dormitory one should be miyachah with a girl, or vice versa. It's not really a good idea. But al pi hilchas yichud, for a man and a woman to be miyachah in a dorm room, Again, Hilchas Yichud, I'm not getting into the Hashkafa aspect of it, but Alpi Hilchas Yichud, there is no Isra of Yichud because someone could come in any time, in a dorm, you know, people come and go at all hours of the day, even all hours of the night, and therefore if the door is unlocked in a dorm, it's a deterrent right there because no one can walk in on me. And therefore the halacha is, there would not be a problem of Yichud. But again, on a normal home in our neighborhoods, an unlocked door would not help. Now if the door is wide open, right, you know, locking the door, you're opening the door. So there the halacha is, if you are in the immediate vicinity of the open door, the halacha is, there's no problem of yichud. Which means, if I'm in my living room, right, my living room is the door comes into my living room. If my front door is open, and it's again during the daytime or evening time when people could come to the door, then the halacha is, if I'm sitting together with this woman in my living room, again we're speaking in a case where no one else is home, there's nobody here, and I'm yachid with a woman alone, so in my living room, it would be mutter, because that's a deterrent. If my door is open, in our society, if someone's front door is open, we will, you know, anybody home, right? You open the screen door, and you peek your head in, and you say, anybody home? So if you're in that immediate area, halacha is, there's no problem of yichud in that case. However, to be yachid with a woman in, let's say, a different room, if you want to go into the kitchen, where it's not visible to someone who would come in that case an open door would not work, because so what if the front door is open? Nobody's going to come in, because at worst, I can be miyake with this woman in my kitchen, and they'll come in the front door, no one's going to get past the front door, because if they sell anybody home, and they don't hear anybody, they're not going to go further, right? You would walk into somebody's house, and start walking through the different parts of the house, and therefore in that case, the halacha is, it only works for the immediate area. As far as like an open window shade, is that considered as a Pesach Pesuach? That all depends on where you live and what the general minig, or whether or not people have the ability to walk by and look in. So for example, if you're in an area where people come and go, let's say in particular in New York City, in Brooklyn, if you're in Brooklyn and the houses are right there on the sidewalk and people are walking back and forth all the time, and you know people are looking in as well, if your shades are open and you're miyaka with a woman in that dining room, in the living room and dining room, it's mutter, because you're not going to do anything because people are coming and going. They're looking in as they walk by. So in that case, it would be mutter. If you're in an area where nobody can really see you and somebody has to go out of their way to, you know, they go through the back and they gotta come in through the back. Oh yeah, you have my shade open. Again, that realistically won't work because there's no deterrent, because if your shade is open to your backyard, you know, there's nobody, you know, whoever goes to my backyard. So in that case, the halacha would be aser. Now another example of Pesach Pesuach, which is a rabbin, is if people frequently come and go into this house. This is either people are coming and going all the time, or you have several children, right? You have a man and he wants to be yachid with a woman, but you know you have the children who are out, but they can walk in at any time. We'll talk about one spouse. It's even better. But let's take the spouse out for a minute. But you have kids that might come home, and there's a boarder that might come home, and you're expecting somebody. People are coming and going on a regular basis. The halacha is, it's not a problem of yichud. So this is very relevant, and this shaila comes up very often. You have a businessman, and he wants a secretary. So he wants to hire a secretary. Well, they're going to be alone in this office on a regular basis, on a daily basis. So I periodically get shilas from women contemplating taking jobs, and they're the only secretary. That's the whole office. And that's it, just me and the boss. So is it mutter or is it aser? Now we'll talk about a little bit later problems with bosses and secretaries. Is really a separate problem. But here we're talking about, now we're, you know, just not a regular close secretary, just somebody to do the work. Somebody that's going to come in the office and do the work. So if it's an office that's frequented by people, or it's a store, for sure, a store. Store people just walk in and come and go all the time. Certainly there's no Isra Yichud. If it's a type of a firm where people just come and go on a regular basis, even an accounting firm, during the months of, during tax season, where people, clients could just walk in and they advertise, you know, we're open, then there would not be a problem of yichud. But if it's an office where, you know, people only come by making an appointment, you know, people are just walking off the street, it's not a store, then in that case it would be a problem of yichud because nobody's really expected to come. Now, this heter though works, a very important heter, where if a person finds themselves in a scenario of yichud, because for whatever reason, your cousin's in town, and she's staying by your house, Talacha is there a problem of yichud? How do you get around it? One of the easiest ways to get around it is undo the yichud by going over to your neighbor and saying, listen, here's a key. You can come in at any time. Right? You should know we have a situation of yichud. You're allowed to come in at any time and whenever you want. Talacha in that case is, it would not be a problem of yichud because it's a test that was just a rabbin. That has to be real. In other words, you can't fake it and say, you know, well, you have the key and I know you're going to come in. Or, oh, we're going to come in once. They come in one time and they say, okay, you know, I was late to Zion, we took care of this issue. It has to be seriously where they're coming and going on a regular basis. Now, as a side note, you have to be careful who you pick to be the person coming in. For example, let's say a Chas and Kala want to set up their apartment. They want to set up their apartment. So, therefore, to get around the problem of Yichud, they tell somebody, come in at any time. Let's say the girl tells her friend, right? Just the girl's from in town, you're setting up, they're going to live in the Kala city, or the Bachar's learning in Yeshiva, and now the Kala tells one of her friends, I want you to come in at any time. So, and she's a single girl, right? They're just a friend, come in at any time. Well, that doesn't help Yichud, because you know what? When this other girl comes in, you now have two women and one man, you still have Yichud. So therefore, if she comes in, you still have a problem of yichud. So that's not Tazak Pasuk Hashem Saram, because the person that has the key to come in is a woman who will not break the problem of yichud. You need to get someone who will solve the problem of yichud. For example, get a man to come in. Because two men and one woman during the daytime, or until people generally go to sleep, and we'll elaborate on this a little bit later, are not a problem of yichud. So again, if a Chasan Kala is setting up their apartment, they want to go to a man, class is the best case, come in, and that way you break the yichud. There's no yichud when we're alone, because somebody could come in at any moment, and therefore that solves the problem of yichud. As we will see later, a married woman whose husband is in town will also be able to break the yichud problem, and we'll understand that a little bit later. Now, another very important exception is what's called Baila Be'ir. This is one of the most important clulas and leniencies within the halachas of Hilchas Yichud. And there's a machlokes Rishayim as far as how to extend Baila Be'ir, which literally means the husband is in town. We tend to be more lenient in the usage of Baila Be'ir. And what Baila Be'ir means is that her husband is in town. The pashat simple halacha is that a woman is allowed to be miyachayed with a man under normal circumstances if her husband is in town. So that very relevant example is if, let's say, a woman is home, she's a housewife and she's home today, and there's a repairman that comes to fix, you know, coming to plumbing job, electrical job. Well, now there's yichud, because you have this woman who's alone with this man. So the halacha is, if her husband is in town, and we'll define what it means to be in town, if her husband is here in town, there's no problem of yichud. And therefore, if, as long as I'm in Baltimore, so a repairman could come fix something in my house. Or if my cousin is, you know, he's going to dive in at the 9 o'clock meeting, I'm out of the house already. And now alone are my wife and my cousin, who's a bacher from out of town, who's visiting. Talacha is, there's no yichud. My wife is alone, all the kids went off to school, everybody's away. No, there's no problem of yichud because I'm Baila Be'ir, I am in town. The reason for this is, Rashi says, Dilma Asi, which means maybe the man will come home. In other words, the whole problem of Yichud is we're afraid that the man and the woman might come to do something wrong, but we said that if there's some sort of deterrent, pass up a circle, just Arab, right? The shades are open, people are looking in, you're not going to do anything, you're afraid. Another deterrent is, if the husband is in town, that's a great deterrent, because the wife is afraid to do anything, because Dilma Asi, maybe the husband will come home. Now, the classic case of Baila Be'ir is when the husband really could come in at any time. When Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva says that this is even true in a big city. And when we say city, we refer to the metropolitan area. In other words, you know, I work in Pikesville, right? And I live in Baltimore. So does that mean there's no Baila Be'ir? No, of course it's Baila Be'ir, because I'm 2 miles away from home. We're in the general metropolitan area. When we consider metropolitan area, we refer to Towson and Pikesville and Owings Mills and Glen Burnie. That's all considered as part of the metropolitan area of Baltimore. However, Baila Be'ir does not apply to a husband who is working in Washington, D.C. And this is very common in Baltimore, where the husband goes to work in Washington, or in Crystal City, or in Fairfax, Virginia, right? Washington's metropolitan area. The halacha there is no bialah b'ir. So, if a woman is home with a man, and the husband drives off and goes to, Washington or Silver Spring, the halacha is, it would be a problem of yichud. It would also, if for her to be alone, you don't have the heter, you don't have we don't permit this because of bialah b'ir. It would seem to me that even Colombia, for purposes of bialah b'ir, is also considered as out of town. The whole Kiddush, in other words, when Chazal said the halacha bialah b'ir, they were referring to, even you look at Baltimore 1790, which is, 200 years ago, but even way after Chazal's era, you're dealing with an area of the city which is, 10 blocks by 10 blocks, or 20 blocks by 20 blocks, and that's it. Everything else was out of town. So again, it's Ramesh's Kiddush that in a city, Chazal said bialah b'ir is permissible. Doesn't matter how big the city is. So to extend it past what would be considered as a metropolitan area would be difficult to do. Now, an exception. There are several important. It's really a city issue. It's really not time. In other words, in New York, right, or in Los Angeles, the metropolitan area is pretty big. Let's take New York for example. The five boroughs are b'ir, for sure, certainly b'ir. Certainly be here. So if you're working in Staten Island, you collect tolls at the Outer Bridge, right? And you live in Riverdale, that's a nice distance to get there, but it's bialah b'ir. Even Mashenkain, from here to Silver Spring, I can get quicker to Silver Spring than somebody from Riverdale can get to the Outer Bridge. But it's not a din in time or distance, it's a din in, in what constitutes as be'ir, Chazal would make. Now, an exception to this is, there are several important exceptions where we do not apply bialah be'ir. Number one is if the husband is inaccessible. For example, let's say the husband's in the hospital. Right? He had an operation, and he's going to be in the hospital overnight. So even though he's in town, right? He's right here inside the hospital. But you don't say bialah b'ir because there's no deterrent. It's like he's not in town because you know definitively that he's not going to be here. Now, Ramesh's tshuva is even applicable. Even you know your husband's collecting tolls in the Outer Bridge, right? That's where he is, and you're up at Riverdale. But bialah b'ir, right? We still say that there's not a problem, generally speaking. Now, because he, maybe today he decided to leave early or take off or whatever. So the halacha is it's still considered b'ir under normal circumstances because he's here. Now, in that case, it will be fine because maybe he may decide to come home in the middle of the day. But if he can't come home because he's in the hospital, then the halacha is there's no bialah b'ir. Or if a husband's going away, right? This I once had to make this calculation for somebody. Someone had a guest over, the woman who was company in the house, and her husband was flying out to, he had an early 7 a.m. flight that morning. So, in that case, it would seem to be that the bialah b'ir would end from the time he's expected to board the plane. So if his flight's at 7 o'clock in the morning, already at 6:30, you got to wake up your cousin and say, you got to go to the early minyan because you got to get out of here because my husband's out of town. Now, even though theoretically he's sitting on an airplane at BWI airport, but again, it's inaccessible. And when Kanef is in the airport, it would seem to still be bialah b'ir because, maybe the flight will be canceled, he won't come home. Once he's on the plane, then there's no turning back, and therefore you would not say bialah b'ir. Another very important exception to bialah b'ir is if you have a man and a woman who are extremely close. Two examples. One would be a boss and his secretary. Not just a regular secretary who's just been hired, but very often you have in a workplace someone who's been successful in business, and the secretary is really his right hand person, and they've done projects together, and in a very sneeze way. In other words, God forbid, we're not talking about two individuals who have done anything wrong. They've done business together. She knows his handwriting. They share in simchas together. They know when each other's kids are graduating. They've because they work for a few years together, and again it's all been done al pi halacha kedasu kedin. Everything has been done perfect. Nothing has ever been done wrong. So in that case, for the woman to be miyached with the man, even though her husband is in town, is aser. We're not allowed to do that. Because again, in Chazal, the infinite wisdom said that even though we say Baila Be'ira is a deterrent, but when two people are so close, they're really close with each other, they work with each other, and they've done projects together, and they joke around with each other, and they know everything about everybody else's, right? In the framework of work, the halacha is, Chazal said, we need to distance them totally. In that even though her husband is in town, that even that's not enough as a deterrent. Because they're very close. Another example would be certain family relationships. For example, a sister-in-law. Or a cousin. Again, not always. Not always does a man have a close relationship with his sister-in-law. But in certain cases, and very often, they do. Or a cousin. You have two cousins, a man and a woman. They grew up together. They were neighbors. They're very close with each other. They've shared in all their simchas and everything. And they shmooze. Everything. And again, all in a kosher way. They've spent the stardom every year together, very, very close. Then the woman gets married, and now she's married to a fine young man, and now this cousin comes for Shabbos, right? He's learning in yeshiva. Oh, we'll have you over for Shabbos. Great. Well, now the husband says, you know, I got Ashkama. And the bacher says, well, you know, I want to dominate the later minyan. So now the husband goes off to shul. Under normal circumstances, it's not a problem. The Baal Be'ir, he's in shul, right? He's right around the block. He's a few blocks away. Not a problem. But in this case, where this man who's alone with this woman is her very, very close and dear cousin, or sister-in-law, right? Sister-in-law, they were married. They're old, even older. Husband and wife are older, and this is the baby sister who has been there. You know, you've known her since she's 3 years old, and and she's babysat for you, and you're so close with her, and you know, you're looking for a chassid for her, everything, right? And now she's here in your house. So again, we would say there would be no case of Baal Be'ir. Again, that case is not Baal Be'ir because that's a poor example. Again, the other case where the woman is very, very close with her cousin. In that case, there would not be Baal Be'ir. Another case, you know, all of this that we're saying is where we're dealing with people who are respectable individuals. Where we're dealing with people who are known prutzim. People who are, you know, this man who's alone in the house with this woman is known not to be the most sneeze person, or has either their allegations of wrongdoing, or he's just a prostitute person. He's not a regular type of a good person who is known to do the right thing. Then also these halachas are suspended, because all of these halachas, the Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuah, all of that is we're dealing with, you know, good people. Right? We're dealing with good people. The Torah says, look, even good people can come to make a mistake, so we need to separate them. But Baal Be'ir is not a problem, Pesach Pasuach Shusharam is not a problem, the door is open, not a problem. But if we're dealing with people who, to start with, are known to be immoral, then the halacha is, these halachas don't apply.
Is there a shear on the secretary's morality?
No, again, it's not really a shear, there's no number to say they work together for, you know, 18 months, or it really is something that is self-defined by those two people. You know, people know I'm very close with her, right? And that's really a self-defined type of situation. Now, another example where we say there's not a problem of yichud, and this is a more limited heter, as we will see, is what's known as ishtai mishamrasai. Ishtai mishamrasai literally means the wife watches him. And it's really the opposite of Baal Be'ir. Baal Be'ir says that if a woman is allowed to be miyached with a man, provided that her husband is in town. If her husband's in town, and we're dealing with regular people, and everything, and not a problem, and no one's really close with each other. By the way, the term for two people very close is called libay gaspa, which means there's a certain affection between these two people. So Baal Be'ir is mutter, not a problem. Ishtay Misham Rasai is not as strong by the very terminology of the Gemara. Ishtay Misham Rasai says that a woman will protect her husband. A woman watches over her husband. Now what does that mean? So we have a machlaikas. There's a three-way machlaikas, achrayinim, what Ishtay Misham Rasai means. The Beis Shmuel is the most lenient with Ishtay Misham Rasai. The Beis Shmuel, and it's important to I generally don't like in halacha shir to go through all the different opinions, but here it's important because as we will see, we will sometimes rely on the leading opinion, sometimes not. So it's important we recognize that there are three opinions in this case. Again, we're speaking about a case where I want to be alone with a woman because my wife is in town. That's Ishta Misham Rasai. Or my wife is here. My wife is watching over me, and therefore Ishta Misham Rasai is not a problem of Yichud. So the Beis Shmuel says, it's the same halach as Ba'al Be'ir. Whatever we say by Ba'al Be'ir applies to vice versa. Which really says that that means I can be alone with a woman as long as my wife is in town. My wife is here in town, mutter. That's the opinion of the Beis Shmuel. The Marsham argues and says the opposite extreme. The Marsham says, no. You know what Ishta Misham Rasai means? It means that your wife watches you when she's here. All that says is as follows. That if you want to, you're home with your wife alone, and you have a woman as a guest who's staying by your house and eating meals by your house, so what's the situation? It's you, your wife, and this woman? So maybe I should say, well, it's a man and two women. Oh, but it's your own wife. No, but fine. There's no yichud with me and my wife. But there's yichud with me and my and this woman. So maybe that should be asur. So the chiddush of Ishta Misham Rasai says, my wife is here. She's staying with me in this house. She's right in this room. We're all eating together. That's Ishta Misham Rasai. Not like Ba'al Be'ir. Ba'al Be'ir says, the husband's in town. He's accessible. Mutter. Not a problem. The Marsham says, Ishta Misham Rasai. You know, it should have said Ishta Be'ir, right? If Ba'al Be'ir and Ishta Be'ir are the same thing, then it should have said Ishta Be'ir. What's this Ishta Misham Rasai? So Ishta Misham Rasai literally means that a wife watches over her husband, and therefore if a woman is staying in the home of a man and a woman, we're not afraid that this man is going to do anything wrong with this woman because his wife is there, so he's not going to do anything. So again, those are the two extremes. We have the Beit Shmuel that says it's the same thing as Ba'al Be'ir, very lenient, and we have the Marsham who's very machmir and says no, it just says that the husband and wife could be alone together with a woman, but it's not a problem. The Imre Yasher is a opinion which is a pshara, a bit of a compromise between the Beit Shmuel and the Marsham. The Imre Yasher says it's permissible for the husband to be at home with another woman even if the wife is not at home, provided that the wife is in the general vicinity or is in the general area and could technically come home at any time. And that, for example, if she's out shopping for the day, right, he says, Shalai Vilay Mahani is interesting terminology in Migration. Vilay Mahani im darka liyais b'shuk lizman rav. Right, which means it doesn't help if her derech is to be at the malls for an extended period of time, then it won't help. So if your wife says, I'm going shopping, and that means that she's going to be in the mall for, you know, the whole day, then you don't say Ishta Misham Rasai, because she's not around. She's not here. But if, you know, she went out to run a couple errands, and, you know, she's basically around, then you would be allowed to be miyachid, according to the Imre Yasher, with a woman. Now, what is the halacha l'maisa? So the halacha l'maisa, again, to be, of course, like the Beis Shmuel, that's we like the Marsham, that we could go like, which says that for certainly it's mutter for me and my wife to be alone with a woman. There's no problem of yichud at all if we're together in the same house. Not a problem. The question is, what if my wife is away? Are we lenient, and when are we lenient, like the Marsham or like the Imre Yasher? So, if we could be mitzdarif, something else, which means there's another reason to be lenient, then in that case one could rely on the opinion for sure of the Imre Yasher to say that if the wife is, you know, not out for an extended period of time, you could be lenient. Which, what are two examples? Number one is Yichud Rabbanan. In other words, if it's Yichud Dairaisa, which means Torah prohibition, for me to be alone with a woman who is an Erva, who is Yichud Dairaisa, so that already, that's, you can't just do that. But if it's Yichud Rabbanan, classic case, a man is home sick, and that happens to be the day that they have cleaning help, or they have a maid that comes every day. The maid is not Jewish. The woman is at work, she's, you know, she's in town, she's around, she's not all that far away. Kick one of the two individuals out, The halacha is no, because ishte misham rasai, the wife is in the general area, she's around town, and it's only yichud rabbanon. So by rabbanon, we were more lenient. If it's a yichud raisa, we wouldn't say that. So let's say it would be a Jewish woman who is cleaning your home and is in your house. The halacha would be a problem of yichud. Now, if that cleaning woman has a husband, then it's bailu be'ir. So there's no problem of yichud for you as the man to be miyachay with this cleaning help because her husband's in town. Bailu be'ir. But let's say it's a Jewish woman who has no husband in town. So now, for you to be miyachay with who is in an erva, if she would be an erva, the halacha would be, it would be also for you to be miyachay with her because that would be yichud deraisa, even though your wife is around. Now, another case is if you keep the door unlocked. Where is ishta misham rasai? This is very, very relevant. You're alone with a woman. Your wife is in town. She's in the general area. You know, you're not sure when she's coming up, but she's in the general area. So we said the sikhat araisa. But if you unlock the door, so as we mentioned earlier, unlocking the door in and of itself is not a heter, but here you already have two things to rely on. Number one, you have the opinion of the Beis Shmuel that says, look, the wife is in town, it's like Baal Be'ir, so no problem. You're okay with Yichud. However, that's one thing to rely on. Number two to rely on is the door is unlocked. So again, even though people might not come in, but it's enough, what's called to be mitzarev, it's enough to add up to say, in that case, it would be mutter, and therefore we're coming out like this. If a man wants is home alone with a woman, then if his wife is in the house, it's not a problem with anybody. 100% mutter. If his wife is away, then it's mutter for him to be yachid with this woman if, number one, either the door is unlocked, or this woman is only yichud rabbanon because, for example, it's a non-Jewish woman, it's a girl between 3 and 11, right, all yichud rabbanon. In that case, it would be mutter for this man to be miyached with this woman in that case. However, otherwise, we don't say yishtem misham rasai, and one would have a problem. Okay, so again, baal be'ir is almost carte blanche. Baal be'ir, again, is a woman to be miyached with a man whose husband is in town, the halacha is mutter under normal circumstances, unless the Gliba Gaspa, unless he's inaccessible. But that's much more lenient. You don't have to unlock the door; it's okay. However, the other way around, Baal be'ir, Mishta Misham Rasai, we are not as lenient in that case. Now, the next thing is to address is combinations. The combinations is, as we mentioned earlier, it's prohibited for a man to be miyached with one woman, and it's also prohibited for a man to be miyached with two women. It's also.
Is it the right?
I think one or two is only drabbanon. I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's only drabbanon. For a man to be miyached with three women, for a man to be miyached with three women is mutter b'yayim. And even that, the paiskim, some say it's only mutter b'shas achak, only if you're stuck. But when it comes down to it, if necessary, it's permissible for a man to be miyached with three women, but it's prohibited to be miyached with three women at night. And this is very relevant, this case. And this happens all the time. A man has a woman has a baby. She's in the hospital. So there's sure no ishta misham rasa there. Right? Not relevant. The man is home alone with his little kids. He's got a 2-year-old, and he's got a 3-year-old, and he's got a 1-year-old. And now, how is he going to take care of these kids? What's he going to do? Well, let's get our steady babysitter who knows the kids, and the kids know her. Perfect. Let's have her come. So she wants to come and help. Okay, we're not talking about staying overnight yet. We're just saying she wants to come and help. Very noble. She comes every day to help. She wants to come at 5:30 to make him supper and serve him supper and give him baths and the whole bit. The halacha is, it's usur. Because you have a man and a woman who are being miyached. So if that had to happen, what you would do is you would tell a neighbor, come on in, tell another man to come on in, and now there would be no problem with you. Because you get your neighbor and say, look, my wife had a baby, I have a babysitter who's coming, she's an 11th grader in school, she's a great babysitter, she's going to take care of everything, and now let her come. The problem is yichud. So go over to your neighbor and say, listen, please come in on a regular basis. Here's the key. Just keep coming in, you know. Keep coming and going, and that will take care of the problem. As we'll see, two men and one woman are not a problem during the day. If they want to, let's say, okay, I'll bring a friend. The babysitter says, I'll bring a friend. We'll have two girls come, right? I need help. I'll have two girls. It's still usher. It still won't work because two women and one man is a problem of yichud. But if this babysitter says, I'll bring two girls with me, then it's okay. Again, b'shas hachag, which I guess you could say this is. Otherwise, you know, the kids will not be fed properly, will not be diapered properly, or bathed properly. So in that case, it will be most permissible to have these three girls come over. That only works during the day. At night, and we'll define day and night in a moment, even one man and three women are a problem. Even at night. Even one man and four women is really also a chachila, b'shas hachag. One could rely and be lenient in that case. That halacha says the man is home alone and he needs help. He really needs help, right? And now what's he going to do? So he called, you know, I need help at night. I mean, this 1-year-old gets up at night and I don't know what to do. So what's going to be? So the girl in the school says, I'll bring one friend, two friends. Not enough. You would literally need four girls sleeping in that house to avoid the problem. And even that's only permissible b'shas hachag. We'll find other ways around this a little bit, hopefully a little bit later. We'll get to a little bit more realistic aces than otherwise, you know, you get, you know, the whole 11th grade from all compile in on a chesed project in order to avoid yichud problems. We'll see a little bit more of a practical solution. Now, one man and one woman are a problem. Two men and one woman are permissible during the day. It's prohibited at night. Now, what is day and night? As I mentioned earlier, there's chalukah between day and night. Here, day doesn't go by sunrise and sunset. Here it goes by when people are generally up and about, out in the street. When are people coming and going? When are people, you know, outside, you know, in the street, going, coming and going? According to the patrol of Baltimore, that really goes up until 10:25 p.m., 10:30 at night, which really depends on where you live. To really give a specific time. But basically in Baltimore we could say that night would begin at sometime between 10 and 10:30. That's usually when most people are off the street. At that time, most minyanim, there are a little bit later minyanim, right? You can daven maariv until 11 o'clock in town. But by and large, most people are already not up and about. We could use as a mushal, this only as a mushal, is how late would you call somebody on the phone? When would you pick up the phone? Again, not somebody you know. You know, I know people I can call at 11:30 at night. But again, a normal circumstance. Let's say I needed something from somebody. Right, I have to ask somebody. I heard you know about something, and I don't really know these people that well. So what time would I call them on the phone? What time would I knock on their door? Would you knock on someone's door at 10:30 at night? Not really. Would you call somebody who you really don't know at 10:30 at night? Probably not. Would you call them at 10? Yeah, till 10 you would call them without till 9:59. You would for sure call them at 10, between 10 and 10:30. You know, it depends how important it is. After 10:30, you wouldn't dream to call somebody that you don't know after that time. So that's, again, between 10 and 10:30, we go from a period of time of day to a period of time of night. So again, until 10 o'clock at night, two men and one woman could be miyachet. But once, 10:30 comes, two men and one woman are a problem. However, three men and one woman are permissible at night, even to sleep over. Again, this is very relevant. When I was in Talz Yeshiva in Chicago, so we would eat Friday night and Shabbos by Baal Batim. It was very, very nice. We ate by, you know, the family setting, a family atmosphere. There was one, Baal Bas, who was Nifter, and he left an Almana, an older woman, and she had, for so many years, had Bachram eating by her home. She wanted to continue this Adarab, but now she was alone, and to her, to Friday night, to have Bachram over would be very nice for her, because she would cook, and it would at least be a bit of a nechama that she could continue doing what she's been doing for so many years. So the question is, can you send one Bachram over to eat by her? No, certainly not, because it's a problem of yichud. Can you send two Bachram to eat by her? Well, by day, certainly you could, and even by night, again, depending on how late this meal would go, but in the winter, certainly, to send two bakrim would be okay. In the summertime, when they're not eating till much later at night, maybe it'll go later, so then you would want to send three bakrim over to go ahead and eat with her. In that case, it would be permissible. Again, this is also relevant where bakrim go to collect. People collect for Chag HaTzmai, or other, you know, when I was a bakrim yeshiva, we would collect Pesach and Hizman for Chag HaTzmai, or Pilim, or their yeshivas. So for one bakrim to go to an almana and collect would be a problem. Again, to a woman that doesn't have a husband. But for two bakrim to go, and again, I mean, it's a question of, you know, collecting from almana, let's say she gives every year, she's expecting your visit, and halacha is two bakrim to come would be permissible to come during the day, and again into the relatively early evening hours. Something I didn't mention earlier is, this is very relevant, if a woman lives alone, it becomes difficult to have a repairman come and fix things in her home because of a problem of yichud. There's no baal be'ir, there's nobody around, and again it gets difficult, and one has to arrange it in a way that there's not a problem of yichud. Still, no, it doesn't matter. The amount of yichud is really the exact number is not in hilchos yichud. Actually, it's in hilchos saita. Seems to be about 35 seconds of the isra of yichud. Right? No, I think it's there's a shiloh that shear of saita can be applied to yichud. But basically speaking, it's a very short period of time. It's just as a side note, the famous shiloh of an elevator. Right. What's the happen to go on an elevator? So a regular elevator that goes from floor to floor, that's clearly mutter, because it's Pesach Masuchah just a rabbit, because you're on the first floor, 5 to 10 seconds later, someone may get on the second floor. So the only shiloh that they talk about are the express elevators, you know, in the Empire State Building, you get on the first floor and you go straight to the 79th floor. So if you're on there with a woman, so it's going to be more than 35 seconds, is it mutter or not? So Ramesh finds in the tshuva, even that case is mutter, there are basically no problems with a regular elevator, a standard elevator, because it's, I forgot the lumpness of his tshuva, but even in the express elevator, which may last for more than 35 seconds, he's matter it, and that's based on if we have the ability, I do remember, if we have the ability to borrow that shear of Hilchas Saita to the shear of Hilchas Yichud, the din of Saita, which also, by the way, is Yichud, right? The whole din of Saita is where a man says to his wife, do not be miyached with this woman. Now, just what's interesting is Yichud is already Asa. What did he add? She cannot be miyached with this man anyway. But again, he suspects her. He says, I forbid you to be miyached with, you know, Reuven ben Shimon. The halacha is, that constitutes saita, potentially a saita, and if she's miyached, she would have to drink the ma'amarim. As a very, very side note, a man should never tell his wife, even biyachin, even alone, and say, I forbid you from being miyached, with this man, because there's a whole shiloh of how many edim you need when the man says this, and if we say that it's not necessary and she is miyached with this man in front of edim, or do we need edim, how many edim, then she may be mechuyev to drink the me'amarim, which we unfortunately don't have because we have no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore potentially he could ask her lila, because they're not allowed to live together until she drinks from the me'saita, which we don't have. So it's a very dangerous thing to say, you know, do not be miyached with Reuven ben Shimon. So in Ramesh, if you look up the tshuva, Ramesh, I think he says that number may not apply, that may strictly be to the dinner of Saita, and there's a tzad to say it doesn't apply to a regular case of Yichud. Because Saita is potentially a shorter time, because here we're dealing with two people who know each other. You look it up in the English Maisha. Now, but again, basically though, the shear we go with the Chachila is, a very, very short period of time. Now, Katanim have a special halacha. This is very, very relevant. And that is, as we mentioned, we briefly mentioned, but at what age does the Isra of Yichud begin? How old? When does the problem start? So the halacha is, once a boy turns bar mitzvah, it is forbidden for him to be miyached with a girl age 3 and older. So for a man to be miyached, right, any man to be miyached with a girl 3 and older, halacha is prohibited. A woman, once she turns bas mitzvah, it is forbidden for her to be miyachid with a boy from age 9 and above. So the prohibition of yichud for a woman to a boy is when the boy is 9 and the girl is 3, and of course it's based on the age when potentially something can happen. We say by a woman it's when she turns 3, and by a man is when he turns 9. And therefore, again, babysitting, and we have to now figure out when babysitting would be mutter and when it would be aser. Usually the general meaning is that a girl's babysit. Well, if a girl, for her to babysit for a 9-year-old boy, let's just say they're alone, it would be aser. It would be a problem. For a girl to babysit for a 9-year-old boy and his 10-year-old another boy, right? So again, we come into the gedarim of two boys and one girl, it would potentially be a problem at night. The other way around is where a man, right? When I was a bachur, I had an opportunity to babysit once in a while. So for a man, a boy, to be miyanchein, once the girl is 3, would be a problem of yichud. So this is very relevant. I mean, both cases are relevant. And that is, it would seem to be a very simple case. You know, your neighbor, he's a nice 8th grader, and he wants to babysit. And as we indicated, if it's a 3-year-old girl, you know, she's sleeping, right? We're going to chasana. You can sit back and learn. You can read. You do whatever you want. In all cases, it would be a problem of yichud. Now, there is an important exception to this age, and that is, we say that a child between the age, and I'm going to loosely say 5, 6, or maybe even 7. Well, let's take 6 as a good number. A child, once they turn about 6, between 6 and 9, 10, these children, the terminology is yodas tambiya ve'ena meseres asma labiya, which means they're sharp enough to understand what's going on. They will talk. And therefore, such a child could constitute a shaymer to break the problem of yichud, because you're afraid to do anything. You see, if a man is miyachid with a woman, so they might do something wrong, and they won't say anything. But if a man is together with a woman, and right over here there's this 7-year-old, well, you're afraid really to do anything. That 7-year-old will serve as a shaymer, because you know they have a big mouth. They're going to talk. They're going to you know what it's like kindergarten teachers and first grade teachers know everything that goes on in your house, because the first grader comes and innocently just says it all, everything that goes on, and because that's the way they are. So a someone would be nervous to go ahead and do something in their presence. Now the halacha is, during the day, one shaymer is enough, and at night, one needs 2 shaymerim, because we say maybe one of them will be asleep, and therefore they'll go to sleep, and they're not considered a shaymer at night from the time that they generally go to sleep. It won't work. You need 2 shaymerim at night. You need 2 different children who serve as a shaymer, and even though they're both sleeping, it's okay, because already once there's 2 people, you're afraid that one of them might wake up, and therefore this is what we do. So, well, it gets a babysitter to go ahead. It depends. A babysitter, a woman babysitter, to babysit for 2 5-year-old boys would be 2 men and 1 woman. So that won't be a problem. To babysit a babysitter during the day to babysit would not be a problem, under certain circumstances where we've integrated the shaymer. Now sometimes it gets complicated, and again we don't have time to get into this, but where one person can be a shaymer for another person, but the other person couldn't necessarily be a shaymer for the other person, right? In other words, if you have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, so the 5-year-old could serve as a shaymer for the 3-year-old, but the 3-year-old can't serve as a shaymer for the 5-year-old. So, but again, we're giving the general getter of where this case would work. Now this is, again, as we indicated earlier, when a chassan kala get married, if she is in a state of a nida, the halacha is they're not allowed to be miyachad with each other, even though they are now husband and wife. So they're not allowed to be miyachad with each other in such a case. So what do? So the minig is that they schlep around with them during the day. They have one child who's between, let's say, 7 or 8 year old, who goes with them. And at night, when they sleep together in their apartment or wherever, they have a couple, their first cousins or whoever it might be, that would come with them to in order to break the problem of yichud. Now, I want to quickly go through cases of where other types of exceptions to the halacha of yichud. One is called sainim. Sainim are people who historically don't get along. The halacha is a man is allowed to be miyached with people who generally don't get along, even if they, let me give a classic example, which is not again nowadays. A man is allowed to be miyached with two tsaras. What is a tsara? A tsara is two women who are married to the same man. Now we don't marry, right? Nowadays we don't do that, but it's just a good example here. A man can be miyached with two tsaras. Why? Well, normally a man cannot be miyachad with two women because we're afraid that even two women will, you know, the husband, the man is very persuasive, and chas v'shalom, God forbid, it might come to problems. But two tsaras will never come to a problem. Why? Because one tsara is afraid to do anything wrong because she knows that the other tsara is just waiting for her to do something wrong in order to forbid her. Because as we know, a woman who is mizana, that means she has an extramarital relationship, is now forbidden to her husband. So you have two tzaras, right? You have Rachel and Leah married to this man. They're alone together with Yankel. Now, if Yankel is mizana with Rachel, so Rachel's smarter than that. If Rachel's with a regular woman, so, you know, okay, we'll keep a secret here, no one will know the difference. But if Rachel and Leah are here, and they're tzaras of the same husband, then Rachel says, I'm not going to do anything, because Leah is just waiting to snitch. Because you know what? If Leah snitches, then now my husband has to give me a get, which is what Leah's been waiting for the last 10 years, and here's her chance. So Rachel's afraid to do anything. Tzaras are, I mean, Kishmai Kain who, right? It's a tzara, right? They are after each other. We have such cases even nowadays. One case is a man is allowed to be miyached with Isha v'chamaisa, which means a woman and her mother-in-law. Okay, now this is not to be confused with the following case. The following case is also for a man to be miyachid with his mother-in-law is a problem. Now that leads, this is a whole shear in its own right, is the case of a man, a wife had a baby, she's in the hospital, who's going to come to help? The mother-in-law, right? Her mother's in town. She's staying in the house, she's taking care of everything. She's cooking, she's making shalom zakar, she's making for the bris. Everything's there. But there's a very serious problem here because the mother-in-law is an erva to this man. He's not allowed to be alone with her. You have a few little pitzels in the house, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, so you have a problem. So they're not a shimer. Now, if, just to interject, under certain circumstances, if there's a number of children in the house who constitute a shimer, then it'll be okay. And as we'll see, fathers and daughters, we'll get to that. We'll still have time to get to that. But if for a man to be miyachid with his mother-in-law is a problem of yichud. So they're going to have to set up the situation, set up the scenario where my mother-in-law could be here, it's not a problem of yichud. And that will be either with shaimrim or with certain relatives, we'll get around that problem. However, it's the following case. If a man wants to be miyachid with a woman and her mother-in-law, they are considered sainim. Because historically, women have historically not gotten along with their mother-in-laws, and therefore Chazal said, you know, they have it out for each other, and therefore there is no problem of yichud. Now, if they're just regular mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, halacha is yichud's mutter. Because, you know, historically they're sainim, and therefore we don't have a problem. Sainim means they don't like each other, they're enemies. If you have a case where a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law have an exceptionally good relationship, not just regular, they're so close, and they're, you know, a wonderful, wonderful relationship, then we would not say this case. We would go over the historical sina, and we would say yichud with such two people would be a problem. Oh, next case. Next case is a woman and her stepdaughter are also. I mean, all of much of this has been played out in Hollywood films, but Chazal knew this already thousands of years ago. And that is a woman and a stepdaughter. Historically, they don't get along, and therefore, we're talking about a man to be miyachid. I want to be miyachid with two women who normally are aser, but it's a woman and her stepdaughter is mutter. And the third case is isha ubas chamaisa, which loosely is defined as a sister-in-law. Again, a woman and her sister-in-law, but it's not every sister-in-law. It's, listen to this, it's a woman together with her husband's sister, okay, together with her husband's sister, as long as this woman was married while her husband's mother was alive. And so it's not every sister-in-law. It's a case where they became sister-in-laws while the man, the husband's mother, was still living. In that case, the halacha is for you to be miyachid with both of them is mutter, not a problem. Now, one other case, and this is the last major issue we have to address this evening, and that is, as we mentioned earlier, we mentioned that when a husband and wife are together, there is no problem of yichud for anybody. This is an important kula, which we're going to elaborate on and extend. That halacha says, if I am together with my wife, we could have a single girl sleep by us. Not a problem. I'm miyached with her. No. Ishta misham rasai. Not a problem. Not only that, but even if we could have together in our home a boy and a girl together. No, they're not related. They want to visit. They want to stay in our, they're eating in our home. So it's my wife and I, and a man and a woman, who are not related. So therefore it's yichud between the two of them. They're alone. No. Because once in this makam, once we have broken yichud in this house, what does it mean to break yichud? You have two individuals where there should be yichud, right? Me and my wife, there should be yichud. It's a man and a woman. But the Torah says there is no problem of yichud between a man and his wife. There's no problem of yichud. There's never a problem of yichud between a man and his wife, except with the rare exception we said by the Chassam and Kal. But otherwise, no problem. So that is what's called a yichud breaker. There's no yichud for anybody present. Anybody here right now, there's no yichud. This halacha is extended. The Tshuva Speish Lema extends this halacha to really any two relatives with whom there is no problem of yichud. It's important kula. And that says that if I am home alone with my daughter, I'm home with my daughter. So, is there yichud? No. There's no yichud. There's no yichud between me and my daughter. So that will allow my daughter to bring a friend home, and we don't say, well, there's yichud between me and this friend. Because once yichud has been broken between me and my daughter, that will break the yichud for everybody present. Which, again, so this says, if I am home with my daughter, since there's no yichud between me and her, it doesn't matter who else is in the house. So if someone else comes, if my mother-in-law comes to the house, and I'm home with my daughter, there's no problem of yichud in that case, because it's already broken. My daughter and I broke the yichud. That only works, though, where you had a potential case of yichud which was broken. It does not work in the following case. If I'm home alone with my son, and now we want someone to come to our house, a woman to come to our house. So let's say it's at night, right? It's 11 o'clock at night. Someone's coming to speak over something, and I'm home with my son alone. In that case, there is a problem of yichud. My son and I, no. But my son and I are not a yichud breaker, because there's never yichud between me and a man, me and my son. So what is breaking the yichud? You have a case of two men and one woman. The two men are just two men. Either father and son, so what? So therefore, for me and my son together, or me and my brother together with a woman, would be a problem at night of yichud. My wife and my daughter together with a man, assuming I'm not in town, my wife and my daughter together with a man would be a problem of yichud, because it's two women and one man. It would be a problem even by day. That goes back to our case of the kala goes to bring her chassan to meet her grandmother, Halacha is it's a problem because it's two women and one man. There's no heter. So they have to make up to, you know, they can meet out in the hall, they can meet in a restaurant, she'll invite, you know, other people to be there to break the yichud. In that case, it would be okay. But for a chassan to go bring his kala to his babi, that would be mutter. That would be permissible. Because when the chassan goes to his grandmother, there is no yichud between the chassan and his grandmother. Now they're behind a closed door, and now it's the chassan kala. So there's yichud between the chassan and kala? No. Once the yichud was broken, the Beis Shlaima says, because I'm with my grandmother, then there's no yichud for anybody present in this room. So, well, no, we're talking about a chassan kala where they're just engaged. In other words, we're talking about just, I'm bringing my, the man is bringing his, he's going to his grandmother's house. They're engaged. They're not married. It's not by the chuppah. Well, she is by definition. By showing him in Nida, because she, right, we're not tribal. Right, it works. That's right. It works because it's going to work automatically where the chassan is going to his grandmother. So, you know, what that says is if you have a number of, you have to see the number of children in one's home, but very often, where it might not even matter how many children are at home. When there are children in the house, yichud becomes much easier to deal with because my daughters, I have two daughters who are home, I have sons home, my wife has sons home, so even if one of us is away, the problem of yichud becomes much less because there's, you know, there's children around who will allow the ability to break the yichud. Again, one has to, and we can't get, unfortunately can't get into every scenario of exactly how many you need and what you need, but the point is that when you are home with your daughter, then the fact that there's no yichud between you and your daughter will break yichud for even your daughter's friend. Or for a woman who's home with her son, and her son brings home a friend to eat, then the halacha is, there's no problem with yichud there either, because the mother and the son will break the yichud. Let me just finish this up and then I'll take questions. The last issue of yichud comes up where one has borders. Okay, if you have a border, so again, this is very relevant because often the wife is not home, and now the border is in your house, and you have a man, and let's say they have, you know, again, if there are children home, and there's other children, then you have either maybe shayrim, depending on their age, or you'll have certain yichud breakers. If, though, the children are, you know, 3 years old, 2 years old, then you just have the husband, the man, and the border. So again, one way around this would be the Ishtamish Amrasa case. And that says, well, if my wife is in town, she's around, is it Yichud Rabbanan? Well, a border is not really Yichud Rabbanan. So I would really have to keep the door unlocked. If I have a border, and I'm none of my children are home, no one's expected at home, I'm all alone with the border, then and my wife is in town, and all because I would have to keep the door unlocked in order to avoid the problem of Yichud. What about though if you have a private entrance? But what if the border goes and locks herself in the room? Right? Let's say there's nobody home, nobody's in town, I'm there alone with the border. Well, is the following answer. She'll go to her room and she'll lock the door. So the Shaksim, the Chafetz Chaim speaks about this in the Mishnah Berurah. And he says you need three conditions. What constitutes separate by borders? Again, we're dealing with a man and a woman, and this is even an apartment building, right? If I'm in an apartment building, or there's a man and a woman in an apartment building, the man has his own apartment, the woman has her own apartment, but they enter through the same front door, is there a yichud problem or not? They're living in the same building. When do we say there's a problem or not? So the Chafetz Chaim says, I need three conditions. Number one is that each have their own separate entrance to the area where they're ultimately going to. In other words, an entrance where they come into a hallway of an apartment building is not a problem because that area is frequented. There are other people that come in. But number one is they need to be able to privately enter, which means, so that, let's say you have a boarder in your house, she lives in your attic. To get to the attic, she has to go through your house. So if the man is alone with this boarder, and we're talking about a female boarder here, so you have a problem of yichud, because this boarder, to get to her attic, had to go through your house. She locked the door, so what? If she doesn't have a private entrance, it's a problem. If there's a private entrance, she can get into her own, you have an attic and you have a stairwell. A fire escape, she can go up the fire escape, go into her little room straight, or a basement apartment, she can go through the basement, private entrance, and everyone else has a private entrance. That's condition number one. Number two, she has her own bathroom, And number three is that her door is locked. So that basically says like this. If I have a boarder in my attic, it's my attic, and of course there's access. So she can come out of the attic anytime and come down into the regular house. So if I have a give her a private entrance to get to that attic. Number two is, if she needs to use the bathroom, she has her own bathroom behind her, in her own section. She doesn't have to come out, venture out into the regular home. She has her own bathroom. And number three, her door is locked. That means I can't go into her house to get into. I can't go in because that area between my home and the attic, her door is locked. Halacha there would be permissible. However, if either one of these three conditions is missing, she needs to come out to use the bathroom. She does not have a private entrance. In all those cases, halacha would be a problem. Now, one last thing which we can't elaborate on. I said before I'd have the last thing, but the last is, you know, in the workplace, one has to be careful with issues of yichud. As we mentioned earlier, in the case of the secretary, you know, doctors, there are, generally speaking, the heter of a doctor who's seeing a female patient, or vice versa, is usually the nurse, you know, it's a Pesach Masechus Shel Rabim. The nurse can knock on the door and really come in at any time, and you really cannot be there alone. But if it's psychologists or psychiatrists do run into an issue of yichud, because very often they have, the secretary's gone, they very often have night hours for the convenience of their patients. If a man has a office, and he's seeing patients, and he's alone in that office, and a patient comes, it's, let's say, a woman patient, then it's a very serious issue of yichud, because they're all alone. It's not Pesach Masechus Shel Rabim. One would have to seriously question if Baila Be'ir would even work in this case, because to a certain extent, there is an inaccessibility there, and one should ask a shayla if they are in such a profession. The famous Mishnah Kedushin says even teachers who are single have an issue sometimes with yichud, because the woman comes, the wife comes to see how her son is doing. So again, all of that has to be done with proper consideration. When one trades or one does work with women, one has to be very, you know, careful as far as tzniyus is concerned in general, in business dealings. If one is in a business that involves women in general, one has to be extra careful for yichud, again, A, for being miyachin with them, and B, for just in general, which, you know, the whole purpose, as we said, of yichud is chas v'shalom, to come to do anything wrong. It does not stop with yichud. The importance of tzniyus in the workplace in general, especially bizman hazeh, with so many things going on, is, and again, yichud is only one stopgate that allows a yid to go in a tzniyus fashion, b'derech hayasher, in the proper way, and God forbid, come to do anything wrong. That exceeds, especially nowadays, one has to set up an office or the type of work that they do to be in a very tzniyus way, in order to fulfill, as the pasuk tells us, hasmei alechas imolakecha. A person should go in a very modest way, in a very proper way, in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam.